All right, we call this special meeting of WPCA to order at 6:37, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Okay, and in place of a roll call, just note for the record that all the members of the authority are here. There's no one from the public, so we'll move right down into plant equipment failure and possible action. We do have kind of a crisis situation, so Ed, I'm going to turn it over to you because, you know, I really can't address this.
Right. So a week ago today, last Monday, one of our rollers on our belt filter press corroded and is out of service. Once we got the belt filter press apart to be able to remove this roll, and this roll is around 8 feet long and it's about 450 pounds. As we were taking it apart, we realized that there's a few other rollers on the press and they're in the same type of condition where they're going to be worn out pretty soon as well. Because of the magnitude of this roller, the normal people that we would bring this to get repaired can't handle this type of equipment. They don't have the equipment to be able to service anything like this. The manufacturer who made the belt filter press, we were able to get in contact with them. And because the press was, I think manufactured in 1977, maybe installed in 1982, they couldn't even find the design prints for this specific press. So it is their equipment. So if they couldn't find that, you know, there's no way they're going to find any spare parts to be able to go with it. We were able to find a manufacturer that is able to repair it out of North Haven, and that's where it currently is now. But the condition of this thing is so old and so bad that it's just a matter of time before it goes out with other repairs that are needed. It's been breaking down more and more over the past few years. It was down one other time for about a week's worth of time. This time it's over a week. We'll see where it goes. At this point now, we're pumping sludge, which haven't done before, or we haven't done in Derby in the 7 years that I've been here, because this press has always been running. So when we were able to manipulate the process to kind of hold off on our sludge processing for as long as we could, we let our tanks fill up and did everything we could to keep the production low. We were put in a position that we had to do something because the roller was not going to be done, or the press was going to be back up and running in the time that we needed it to be. So we had to make a decision to go to pumping sludge, and the equipment that we use for that hasn't been used in a very long time because our press has been running. We even have new equipment that, you know, the Godwin pump that we bought a few years back that is, you know, gets routine maintenance on it. It gets serviced. Every piece of equipment that we had to fill the tanker truck with failed. We had one pump that would fill the tanker truck, but it would only fill it up halfway. The pump didn't have enough power to fill it up any more than that. So we sent our first load out with just a half a tanker, but we had to pay for a full one. The second one, we only filled it up halfway. We have an hour time allotted for us to fill up a tanker, and it took about 3 hours to fill it up because we had to take another pump, put it in the top port of the tanker, and let it fill up just to be able to get the solids out of there at that point. We found some other pumps. One of our decant pumps, we took that one off, tried that on Friday. That one worked, so that's up and running. It's working. Normally, when our belt filter press is running, we run it, you know, 3 to 4 days a week, and we get two containers filled a week with dried sludge. With liquid, it's a lot more involved. You don't run it through the process. You don't run it through the belt filter press, so it's just liquid sludge. So I think we did five trucks last week. We had three come today. We have three coming tomorrow. This is just to be able to get the sludge out. And it's it's been very trying on every one of us. So, due to the condition that the press is in, we tried to set up a meeting, and Bob and Chris jumped on it right away to see what we could do to kind of, put our heads together to think about what would be the best course of action to move forward with, either, thickening and just sending out liquid sludge, which doesn't really seem like it's going to be our best option at all, or possibly upgrading the press. We had a meeting that Monday that it happened, and we think we came up with a solution. It's a new kind of equipment I've never seen before. Bob and Chris have seen it. I've heard a lot of other people in this industry rave about it. They did a demo in Milford in the summertime. We weren't able to go to see it, but Milford is getting two of these pumps put in as well. They're pretty excited about it. So what we're looking at is, if these are the presses that we want to move forward with in the upgrade, what we can do is, it would be advantageous for us to buy one now, install it, which will fit in the same footprint as our current one, and we could just move that over to the new building when the upgrade happens.
Okay, a couple of questions. First of all, how much are we paying for each truck that leaves the plant now compared to what we're paying for the same truck? Not the same truck, because it's one's liquid and one was cake. So what's the difference?
They haven't given us a rate yet, but it's probably going to be just the same amount, if not more expensive, because it's liquid.
Because they have to treat it afterwards.
Yes. So they have to take it, and they have to, once it goes to the solids handling facility, then they have to dewater it instead of us dewatering it.
All right. So two things then. First of all, it's going to cost more per truck. And secondly, there are going to be more trucks.
Correct. Because when it gets dewatered, it's all the bound water particles, and those get dropped out as much as they can. So you're cutting out a lot of the liquid in there to get the dried solids. So really all you're sending out is the dried solids. And when it goes by weight or gallons, 65,000 gallons, we're talking 2 or 3% solids, or 4 to 6% solids compared to 20 to 25% solids. So there's a big cost difference there.
Okay. And then you also mentioned that the broken belt press is in North Haven. And I wasn't quite clear. Can they temporarily fix it or not?
Yes, they can.
And what would that cost?
Right now, I have a estimate of $2,000.
All right, and that buys us, we don't know, could break the next day.
We don't know, but we do know there are about seven other rollers on this that are in the same type of shape, and it's just a matter before they go.
What's the lead time, Ed, for this new system? This new dewatering and pump?
I think Bob and Chris said it was about 25 to 30 weeks out.
Wow. Well, okay.
Go ahead, Kyle. Yeah.
No, I just, first off, we get right off the bat, I mean, we have to pay the $2,000 at a minimum to get it repaired. I'm wondering if we shouldn't get into all those wheels, seeing it's already out and up there, to get this thing up and running, because if we're looking at a half a year, I mean, with the amount of trucks that Ed's talking about, and having to transport this liquid sludge, however you want to word it, we're definitely going to surpass whatever it takes to repair this this press. So my thought would be, get it repaired, get all the rollers that you're talking about, have them all done. Get this other one ordered as long as it can be put into the newest plan for the treatment plant, as long as we can use it toward the new plan. What I mean is for it to fit in the new building. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yep.
I think we'd all have to agree. $1,000 would be crazy not to do it, but with the full understanding, it's not a solution. It's a Band-Aid.
I think we have to go with both options, Jack.
Yeah. But now my next question is, I've got it up here. Is this what we're talking about, this proposal here? Okay, now yes. I looked at that. That's, if I look carefully, ballpark figure, it's $400,000.
That's just for the equipment delivered to the site. You still have installation, design. It's probably going to, I think, and Bob, forgive me, you jump in if I'm saying something wrong, but this is your baby, but it's probably going to approach $1 million to get this new, this machine. You know, it's going to be close to $1 million to get this machine in place of the existing belt filter press. But like Kelly was saying, it's a piece of machinery that can easily and will definitely be converted over into the new configuration seamlessly at that time.
The plant upgrade would have two of these, one to a redundant one and one. So this right now you have one press. When it goes down, you have zero. So there's no redundancy right now. So the facilities plan has two of these going in, these four channel units.
Okay. With that being said, we, along with our belt filter press, we also have a rotary drum thickener that thickens the sludge. We bought that, I believe, secondhand after it was previously used for quite a number of years at another facility. And I think that is just as old as the presses or close to it. That's on its last leg too. There's no telling how much longer that's going to last either. And to my understanding, this new system has the capability to be both machines. It thickens and dewaters out of the same machine, so you wouldn't need two separate machines to do one to do either or anymore.
That is correct. You can feed blended primary and waste activated into this machine. Their presumption on page one or two or three of the proposal that Jack's looking at is that it's coming in at about a 3%. And do you have any inkling, Ed, whether you're able to get that out of the blend tank at this point by, you know, letting it sit and decant? Are you getting anywhere near that?
We actually get a whole lot better than that, even if we don't run the thickener. If we take the waste activated sludge with the primary, we're getting 5, sometimes 6%.
Yeah, that's phenomenal then. So yeah, this will be fine.
Okay, so then that's this proposal. That was the $400,000 I was talking about.
Yep. But,
all right, now what is this?
So that is a test. It's a field test where they bring that unit. It's one of those channels. There's four channels in the unit. They'll bring an actual channel there and run it for a week to confirm, based on your actual sludge and your polymer that you're adding, what will be the percent solids or percent dry that you'll see with the installation. It's like a full scale test, so that you know you're getting a properly sized unit. From what we've done preliminarily, it would be a four channel unit. But these are all expandable too. So if you for some reason sludge production goes up, and it's expandable to six channels. So,
what are channels, Bob? You're speaking of.
Scroll up to the previous the last one, the actual the rotary press.
This one.
Scroll down there. There's a picture. See if that little picture with that guy. There's four blue channels. Each one is a separate rotary press, right? And And you can have four, you can have two, four, six, or eight of them.
Yeah, Jack, if you scroll down maybe five or six pages from that spot, you'll see an expansion of that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So there you go. And if you go a little bit further down, you can see the cut-through section. So, yep, that down there, though, that shows that there are cartridges, if you will, channels, cartridges, that you can expand out from either side. And the unit that we're talking about needing for the sludge quantities that you're producing is just four of those channels slash cartridges. But if they do the field testing, because there's so much variability from one town to another town, that they don't size it based on empirical formulas. They size it based on an actual test that they conduct at your facility, which is very nice. So you don't have a big surprise after it gets installed. Hey, this doesn't quite work right. So it's a good advantage, but yeah.
Our new facility will have two of these?
Yep. Two units that are pictured just like that. Okay, two four-channel units.
Two four-channel units. Okay.
Only one operating at a time.
No, they all well, oh yes, only two of those units, the full units operate. Only one would be required at a time. The second is a pure standby, which is exactly what you wish you had today, was a standby unit, a redundant unit on your Bell filter press, which you don't have currently.
Okay, and this?
What's the impact? We don't know the final quote based on how that unit is run. Once it's run, then the actual size will be determined and the actual cost will be returned, be determined, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And what are they charged for coming in to do the test? Did I see $5,000 or something for that?
Yes, they the test costs a lot more than $5,000, but they charge $5,000 just so that it's to get buy-in, so that you would specify their equipment. So they'll come out there for a week with this equipment, actually run your sludge, and you can put it into your dumpster. So they'll actually process your sludge for you. But it's something that they do, like Chris said, to make sure it will work. This is you can design pumps and different pieces of equipment based on formulas, and they're going to work because of physics, but because this process, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more of a science, and it's so variable from the types of sludge. It probably varies, yeah, like Chris said, town to town. It could have slight variations season to season. What kind of polymer you add, or the amount of polymer you add, because there's a lot of variables that they want to know exactly how this is going to work. This is like a full scale, actually a full scale, it's an actual channel, and you'll know how much that channel can produce.
And
your sludge, yeah.
Yep, I'm sorry, a little delay here, so I think I stepped on you. But to Bob's question, is that, you know, the price of a four-channel unit being in the neighborhood of $400,000, if you had to expand it and add a cartridge or two onto it, it's a small incremental cost based, you know, that's added, but it doesn't make it 25 or 40 or 50% higher each time, you know, because you're paying for all the other peripheral equipment too, and all of the design and engineering and all that other stuff. So that's the beauty of these things, is they're relatively easy to add on to.
And is this what you would be recommending for the new plant?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this would replace what we have now.
Yep. And
how much more efficient would you say it is?
What you have out there is efficient as far as, you know, it can get the water out of the sludge. This gets the water out of the sludge as well. It runs on a much, on a reduced electrical usage. It's much more efficient just because it's, you know, had 40 or 50 years of development since the time that your machine was installed. And if we could show you and compare the conditions of your sludge processing facility today versus when these are running, because they're 100% enclosed and self-contained. So you don't have the H2S that's, you know, the off-gassing from this. You don't have the mist that you have in the facilities when you're running a belt filter press, and the abuse of the environment and the abusive environment that taxes the facility, eats up the electrical equipment in there. That all goes away with this because it is completely enclosed. I mean, the place looks as silly as it sounds. They have these up in Enfield, and that's where we've gone to look at them. And we'll take your guys up to look at them at some point if we decide to move forward with this. But it's like, you know, it's like an operating room inside the facility. It's stunning how clean and how much better environment it is for the workers to be working in there with this equipment running. It's you know, I've heard of these my entire career. I have never personally designed one, but like Ed said, people are raving about them. The people that are operating this up in Enfield sing its praises, and it's pretty impressive. And it has been around. It's a technology that's been around for my whole career. I've heard about it, but I've just never had the opportunity to do one.
Well, I have two questions. One, from what I heard, hopefully this would eliminate any odor problems that we have.
Well, it'll contain them in one spot as long as you can take them. Once they're contained, if you take them somewhere and treat them, that's what they do up there. But you do not have this big open garage doors that are just allowing the odor to waft out of it all around the neighborhood. So
right.
You can concentrate the odor and then treat it.
Okay. And second question, how does the cost of a new one of these compare to if we replace what we have with what we have?
I think they're comparable. I know that in our files, we have costs, from when we looked at originally a BDP design, which is a combination of the thickener, which is a drum thickener, which you currently have now. This company BDP makes a combined thickener and dewatering unit. And my recollection is that they're even a little bit more expensive than these.
Yeah, I think they were about $100,000-$150,000 more than this unit was.
That's what I'm thinking too. I don't have it off the top of my head though.
Jack, I think what they have to look at, what is the impact on, we're going to be hit with or try to come up with funds to upgrade this plant. And if we spend $1 million or whatever it is for this particular item, does that negate our ability to get funding because we're paying out of our own pocket, basically? The funds, do we really have $1.5 million or what it's going to cost total to put down on this? It's not like a bond issue at this point.
And it might be.
Not if we have it in place. I don't believe so. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
I think if you know, the key here is, if I heard both of you correctly, this would go in the new building.
Yeah,
new facility. So,
but we paid for it already. So, I'm not sure you're
going to. I know, but we already have the bond, Bob. We already have the bond. So I wouldn't consider it a prepayment if
the bond we have
is to do this project.
But the bond we have won't cover the building right now, right?
Oh no, I know it won't do that, but it would pay for this.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just like, you know, we've got the approval of the bond. We'll pay for the study that we have to do because it's part of the original plan.
Okay. Once we do the study, it appears that once we do the study, we're bound to purchase the equipment. That $5,000 is contingent on us buying the equipment, I'm sure. I mean, they're not going to come out and do a study and say, well, let us know tomorrow or something.
Well, that's part of the reason they want you to pay $5,000 for it. You're putting some skin in the game, right, to show your commitment.
Exactly.
Towards
you're,
it.
You're obligated to move ahead. Sure.
No, you're not obligated to, but you've invested $5,000 towards this technology, so that it gives them the feeling that you're pretty serious about it, and not just going to use this and then go give the work to somebody else because you got it for free.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm trying to think in my head. You know, I'm hearing things that it's comparable in cost, but much better technology.
Would be, sure.
Okay, so, you know, I would want to include that in our plan. You know, the plan has to be approved by DEEP, so you would have to modify the plan, which I think you sent to John at Reftelis today, right, Rob?
Yeah, yes, as part of phase one, when we started down the you know, the second time down phase one, that to use the referendum funds, we would want to move forward with what needs to be done immediately. This was on that list, to replace that equipment in the interim until the dewatering building is built where the digesters are. And then that could be phase two. And that's when the digester building gets built with all the with the other rotary press there. And then we'll move, when that's operational, move this one out of, basically out of Ed's office. It's right behind his office.
Yeah. So, Bob, I think that answers your question, because this will be in the plan that will go to DEEP. And, you know, I would check with the bond council to make sure. But
yeah, the other thing is, I guess if we go ahead with this, it would be nice that it goes into the new building rather than having to move it once from the old building to new. Is that going to make sense to do that? I mean, if the other press could survive so we get it to position, we can put it out. Can we feed this from the existing building into the new building? I don't know. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just too far down the road, the new building.
I think that's the case, Bob, is that by the time we get around to getting that new building built, you're talking years down the road, and you don't want to be running that one for years and years.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I got a couple of concerns.
Go ahead, Kel.
First one is, I would imagine we're calling this an emergency. This isn't, what my concern is, if are we required to go out to bid for it being a bond issue, or can we make a decision to spend this much money on our own, the three of us? I would consider it an emergency. I also would consider it to be part of, like you said, the plan for the plant down there. But I'm just wondering, can we, I mean, first off, it's got to go before the infrastructure, but like, can we say tonight, okay, let's do this? Or are we required to go to bid?
That I would have to check, but I think that we've heard before, if it's an emergency, you can go ahead. Is there anyone else that builds this same equipment? We've just kind of decided this is better, a better process. Is there a competitor, or would the specs be, and so that this is the only thing that would fit the specs?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would like to just make it an emergency and go for it, but I just don't know whether, you know, even like you said, with bond counsel, can they tell us that it's got to go to bid?
No, I don't think they can do that. I think that they can only tell us whether or not we can use the referendum funds. The city would have to say whether we have to go to bid or not.
Right.
But, you know, we can check up on that. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, to get the Reftelis thing done. It's going to require another meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Because any funds technically have to be approved by us and by the infrastructure committee. So, you know, we could get all those answers and then have another special meeting and actually approve it. I just wanted to get the ball rolling on this today.
I think Kelly's point is good. I said that being at the fact that we have the belt press out for repair may compromise our emergency issue. You know, saying we got an emergency, yet we got a belt press being repaired for $2,000 and some shipping costs or whatever, processing. I think we better get that clarified, sure.
Yeah, we have to get it clarified, but yeah. Again, even if that's repaired, I think we're all kind of in agreement that could fail any day. You know,
yeah, true.
we'll be really lucky, I think, if we go with this. You know, because we still have 25 weeks. Ed, can you hold that thing together for 25 weeks?
Well, there's no telling. You know, this guy wanted our business, so he moved a lot of other things around to get us in to be able to do this. You know, I agree with everything Kelly said about sending these other ones in, but there's no guarantee he's going to take us in anytime soon to do this, nor are they broken right now. So it would just be making some sort of repairs to just kind of hold them over unless they do break. You know, there's no way of knowing. I mean, it's run good for a very, very long time, well past its life expectancy. You know, we're going to do the best we can to keep it up and running. But to give you a little bit of perspective, you know, Chris and Bob were talking about this. When they did the facilities plan in 2014, they also considered not doing cake sludge, but liquid sludge for the upgrade. And the Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you said the estimated cost for liquid sludge was going to be around $750,000 a year for disposal.
That's what the estimate was back then. Yep.
That was 2014. And last year we spent just over 200,000. So there's a cost difference between the two.
There's another issue I have to get straightened out as well. And this is where my constant complaints about not having financial data comes in. I don't know if we have the cash to do this, okay, even though I think we do. But, you know, if you recall, the bond, remember we're going to borrow more money back in May or June, and because the Board of Aldermen never took the action, the meetings kept getting postponed, that didn't happen. So I think we only have about $200,000 sitting in the account from the bond. Now, the last time I talked to our bond advisor, he was talking about getting it done in November or December. So I think that's another call I have to make. We're going to have to borrow that money immediately to help cover the cost of this $400,000 plus the rest of it. So
maybe not immediately, Jack, because we just took in over $400,000 in impact fees. And according to regulations, I believe those impact fees are supposed to go towards capital projects.
Yeah, you were going to check on the legality of that. But again, I'm just pointing out, we're talking about using the referendum funds and we don't know what we've got. Okay, because we don't get financial reports in a timely fashion. And even the $400,000, though we know it's going to be there, we don't have a financial report showing it. Okay, we have no good financial data. And I'm sick and tired of it. It's ridiculous. Okay? I've been going back and forth with Jamie in the office, and I think we've got the reports that we'll need now, but we have to get all the data entered for the last 3-4 months. This is insane. This is really it's like having your hands tied all the time. But, you know, we'll have to get some answers on that, so... You know, I would recommend that we get all the answers to these questions about finance and everything else. And I don't know, Rob, Chris, Ed, if you get more information about the total cost of this, and you could say, I think we're all inclined that we want to do this. But we have to have all the details because there's going to be a contract, which we're going to have to get reviewed as well. So there's work to be done. But, you know, the other costs we'll be facing, if we have to truck all that out, that's wasted money. That's money just going right down the drain, literally right down the drain. No permanent value. If we do this, we're getting a
permit. That could wipe out our budget. If we had to wait that long for 6 months or 7 months, whatever it is, that could wipe out our whole yearly budget.
Oh, yeah.
Just in trunking.
Yeah, as Ed said, the only thing that's saving us now is we're getting the capital fees that we didn't have before. And we hadn't budgeted those, so those could help save us on that. But, you know, it looks to me as though this is a very reasonable step forward. Actually, I think for our employees, this is going to be a much better situation for the way they work when we get it done, instead of just waiting till we get the whole plant done. I mean, immediately, correct me if I'm wrong, this just sounds much safer all the way around for everybody.
If you want to go just the route of safety, this is 100 times better, because all of those toxins that are in the air that are just out in the open, not to mention the fact that it's in our administrative building where all of our offices are, our break room, everything, all of those toxins are going through the air. A lot of the smells that people complain about are coming from that press. And, you know, we have no odor control. We have no air filtration system at the plant. This is self-contained, and it's going to work wonders just for the health of the employees.
All right. Well, again, I think we're all pretty much in agreement. I'll try and work with the city in finding out about the bidding and the legality. And if you guys can get all the final information about all the costs for doing this, and whatever agreements or contracts we have to sign, can we do this in about a week and get back together next week? Or do we need more time?
I think we should be good on our end. The only thing that I would ask is if we want to move forward with this, I think it would be a good idea to get the test trailer to come down and run for a week. And the reason I say that is because according to the company, they only have the only dates they have available until springtime is the week of Thanksgiving. So if we don't jump on it soon, or somebody else jumps on it before us, then we're not going to have the ability to even test this out before spring, which, you know, it's either hit or miss. It's either we get it or we don't at that point.
Well, I would ask either Bob or Kelly to make a motion to book and pay for the demo. We could pay for that $5,000 out of our own funds and still get all this other stuff, which you can call them tomorrow, and let's get going on this. And then when we get together, we'll have all the information to move forward. But at least, you know, you say we'll have it booked. Saves us 1 week out of the whole year, or the next 24 weeks, at least 1 week, we know we're going to be good on treatment without a problem. So
before we make that motion, Jack, I just early on when Ed first talked about we're comparing the belt press versus this new press, I thought, unless I misunderstood it, that we're actually getting a better compression with the belt press, reduction in water, than with the new press?
No, I don't think so. Well,
Chris,
Rob,
would be much better.
I know we had a higher percentage. You had 9% or something, and we're quoting 4%.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, those numbers we were talking about, 3% solids, that's what's feeding this machine. But what's going to come out of this machine is very much comparable to what you're getting off the belt filter press for dry solids at the end.
Okay. All right. But rather misunderstood.
Well, good question.
Yeah, it looks like it's, you know, looking at these the anticipated performance, we're getting... We average anywhere from 16 to 20% percent solids. And with the anticipated performance, you're talking about a cake dryness of 25% solids. And that's a big cost savings annually as well, because the drier it is, the less they have to take out, less trips, less hauling, less gas, less everything. It's a much better system.
So you're saying 16 to 25% comparison?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. So someone want to make that motion?
Yep. I'll make the motion. We run that $5,000 test as soon as we can to try to validate the machine, I guess. I guess the only other question, though, I do have is the financial end of it, or if we have to go out to bid. We got so many open questions here.
Not for $5,000, you know.
No, no, not that. But would that test be valid or useful, I guess, if you had to go out to bid?
I think the test would be valid even looking towards our future. It really will tell us whether this is a better
test. Whether you go out to bid or not later.
Okay. Yeah.
Chris and Bob, I thought Fournier was the only one that makes this kind of press. Therefore, going out to bid wouldn't even be necessary.
Well, you're going to have to, I think we're talking going out, we're going to have to go to bid anyway for a contractor to build this. But Fournier is like an industry name, like Kleenex is for tissue. I would bet that somewhere on the face of the earth, there's somebody else that makes something similar that claims to do what this is. But this has been, you know, a Fournier rotary press is the terminology that everybody in the industry uses. So I don't think there's anybody else that has the duration, the longevity, the name, the number of installations that Fournier has, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
All right, so Bob made the motion. Kel, you want to second it?
Second on motion.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? All right, so we're moving forward that, you know, at some point later, we may ask the infrastructure committee to move this from our budget to the bond, but you know, we don't have to worry about that now. We just have to get something done here before we're paying a fortune for nothing, nothing of value, I should say. So that raises the question, can we get back together next week?
Yes.
Let's see. You know what, I'm good any time but next Thursday.
How's Wednesday look? Day after the election. Probably want to stay away from Monday and Tuesday with all the election stuff.
Yeah, Wednesday that's fine. Work?
And I'll invite the infrastructure committee as well.
Yeah, I think that would be good so we don't have to sell it twice. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I think that'd be a good idea if we did that. Yeah.
Bob, that work for you?
Wednesday, yes.
Next Wednesday.
Yep. Same time, 6:30, is that what you're shooting for?
It's fine with me, 6:30.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute, oh, I got to put it in the right day. Just put it on my calendar right now so I don't forget.
What's the date, Jack?
What?
What's the date?
8th.
8th, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're set for tonight.
Okay, a motion to adjourn.
Okay, and a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, thank you all. I know this is not an easy situation, but sounds to me as though this is one that may turn out to be a beneficial thing for us in the long run. So I appreciate all the help and the quick turnaround on it. And it's never easy to turn things around this quickly. So appreciate it. Let me stop the recording.